Well, this morning we're going to continue a series of lessons on joy in Christ. And we'll be thinking about Philippians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 30 this morning. And so I hope that you will open your Bibles to those verses in the New Testament as we consider joy of faithful brethren. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, the Apostle Paul tells us. And there are so many things about which we may rejoice in this life. The Christian should be full of joy for many different reasons. And the book of Philippians explores many of those reasons. But whatever circumstance we're in, whatever situation may confront us, we should always have opportunity to rejoice. And this morning we're going to think about the joy of faithful brethren. You know, here in Philippians 2, verses 19 through 30, Paul discusses two brothers in Christ who helped him in preaching and teaching the gospel. And he had great joy because of their faithfulness. The qualities that they exhibited within their life are also qualities that we may exhibit and thus bring joy to one another. So this morning I'd like us to think about Timothy and Epaphroditus as we think about the joy of faithful brethren. And the first point that we're going to think about is that faithful brethren are a joy when they sincerely care. And so as we look at Philippians 2, 19 through 30, we're going to be taking our text and points from those verses. So let's look, first of all, Philippians 2, 19 through 24 about Timothy. And Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." And so that's our first point. Timothy sincerely cared about the church in Philippi. And that brings joy when we see our brethren sincerely caring about one another. You know, God cares for us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Peter tells us to cast all our care upon Him because He cares for you. And we ought to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25 tells us that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. When we care for one another as God cares for us, as Timothy cared for the brethren in Philippi, that brings great joy to our lives. You think about that for a minute. Just knowing that someone else cares about us is a great reason to rejoice. As we continue on, we see that another reason faithful brethren are a joy, because they seek Jesus Christ. Think about Timothy and his work, that he sought Jesus Christ. Paul says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." And his point there is that Timothy is one who was seeking the things of Christ Jesus. And so when our brethren seek Jesus Christ, that is a great opportunity to rejoice. We should all be thinking about putting Jesus first in our lives and prioritizing Him above all the mundane things of the world. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he really identified with Jesus. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so as a faithful brother in Christ, a faithful sister in Christ, we need to seek Jesus Christ and identify with him and let Christ be seen in our lives. And there is nothing that brings more joy than to see our brothers and sisters living for Jesus Christ. That is a great reason to have joy. Third, when we think about the joy our faithful brethren bring, it comes because they do not seek self. And just looking at that statement there again that Paul makes, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And his point here is that that's not the right way to bring joy to other people's lives, by seeking self. And when we think about the message of the Bible, we see that there is a great emphasis upon seeking the welfare of others instead of self. Philippians 2 and verses 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, if our life solely consists and revolves around what I want right now and what I can do for me right now, then maybe we need to reevaluate our priorities, because that is not what the Bible teaches about how to live life. It's not about me. It's about seeking Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be doing each moment of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's edification. And faithful brethren are a joy when they do not seek self, but rather they seek the welfare and benefit of each other. Fourth, faithful brethren are a joy when they have excellent character. You know, that is something that we need to develop more and more of today in a world that has gone awry with character issues. And you know, not too long ago, that used to be something that we talked about publicly, how we wanted our leaders to have good character. And if they didn't have good character, then we wouldn't elect them to office. But nowadays, it doesn't seem like that really matters very much anymore at all. It's not about the character of the person who is seeking office anymore. But for the Christian, we need to have excellent character. And when we have excellent character, that brings great joy to one another. In Philippians 2 here, notice what is said about Timothy. Paul says, but you know his proven character. You see, Timothy had excellent character. And he was one that could be trusted with the welfare of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul writes, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You know, a steward is someone who doesn't take care of his own things, but rather takes care of the things that belong to someone else. And so that's why he needs to be faithful, because he's taking care of something that belongs to another. And we, as stewards and servants, We are taking care of the things that belong to God. And how important is it then to have excellent character when we are entrusted with that which belongs to another? Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." There's the kind of character that we want to develop within our lives, the kind of character that brings joy to one another. And so when we think about Timothy and his good example, we see that he had an excellent character. And faithful brethren, bring joy to our lives when they demonstrate excellent character within their lives. Now, as we continue to think about the work of Timothy and Epaphroditus, we're going to move on to Epaphroditus and what he did here in Philippians chapter 2, thinking about the good things that he was praised for. Paul says in verse 25, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier." Now think about this description. He was a fellow worker. And when we work for the Lord, we're going to bring joy to our brethren. Working for the Lord is something that we all need to be involved in. We all need to be doing, because we are workers in God's vineyard. We are workers in God's field, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19 says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And we are to be working on one another and helping us grow in the Lord." Think about 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, where Paul tells Timothy, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And here, Epaphroditus is called a fellow soldier, one who is willing to sacrifice, one who is willing to work, one who is willing to give himself and all of himself to the work of Jesus Christ. And we're told how we are to work in Colossians 3 and verse 23. There we read, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, that is, with a good attitude, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." We all need to have an excellent attitude in our work for the Lord. And when we do have that good attitude, and when we are engaged in the work of the Lord, that is a great reason to rejoice. We bring joy to our brethren when we work for the Lord. And we bring joy when we desire fellowship. We were just talking about that in our Bible class this morning, about how the church had great fellowship and communion with one another there in Acts chapter 2. And we need to desire fellowship with one another. Look at Epaphroditus' desires here. He's Paul's brother, his fellow worker, fellow soldier. Notice, "But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." But notice this statement. He was longing for you all. He wanted to be with them. He wanted to have fellowship with them. Do we long for one another? Do we desire fellowship with one another? Do we want to be with one another as God's people? I sure hope we do, because that brings joy. Now think about Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so there is a great desire to have fellowship with one another, to be with one another, to care for one another. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 17, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. I long to be with you at this time every week." It's great. I love it. And I hope you love being here also. But there are other times when we should get together and we should express our love for one another. Do you desire the fellowship of the church? We need to do that because that brings joy to one another. Brethren are a joy when they desire fellowship. Next, brethren are a joy when they make sacrifices. And Epaphroditus was one who made some great sacrifices. Look at what Paul says about him. He says, "Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death." Now, I don't know if I've ever been close to death. In fact, last night I thought I was going to be pretty close to death, to be honest with you. I was driving home from Longview, and I was on 338 out there. It was really dark. And I was tooling along, you know, about 70 miles an hour, which was the speed limit out there. And all of a sudden, I saw some very large animals walk in on the road. And I thought they were elk, and I was like, "What are elk doing out here?" And I slammed on my brake. It was three horses that had gotten out. And I just barely missed them. I kid you not. I really thought I was going to hit them. But as soon as they saw me, they moved in the other direction. And that's the only thing that really avoided me from hitting them. But I was a little worried there for a minute. I don't know if I was as close to death as Epaphroditus was. He was really sick. And sometimes when you get sick, you feel like, man, I'm just going to die here. But his sickness was close to death, and he did it, but he did it because of the work of Christ. And that was something that he exhibited. He made a sacrifice. He was willing to go that extra mile. He did something that the other brethren were not willing to do here. And when we have brethren who make sacrifices like this, you know, that means something, and that brings joy to us. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul talks about how we need to be living sacrifices every day. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Are we those living sacrifices? Think about 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We need to be using what God has given us to glorify Him and using it to make sacrifices. When brethren make sacrifices, that brings tremendous joy to our lives. Finally, as we think about joy, the joy of faithful brethren, we find that there is great joy when faithful brethren stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. And I want you to notice about Epaphroditus here what Paul says. He came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. You know, Epaphroditus was a very special person who was willing to take that trip from Philippi to Rome. And that was a long voyage in that day and time. And he would have had to have endured some trials. And evidently, one of the trials that he endured was that he got sick while he was taking this voyage. But he did it. And evidently, he did something that no one else was willing to do here. He took that voyage. You know, sometimes we ask for help with things, and people stand up and they're willing to do what no one else is willing to do. You know, that's the person who stands in the gap. There's a gap there. There's a space there. It needs to be filled. And we need people to stand up and fill those spaces, those gaps. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, there, the Lord says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." Well, there, God is lamenting the fact that no one was willing to stand up and stand in the gap. But when we look at Isaiah 6 and verse 8, we see Isaiah standing up to stand in the gap. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now there's someone who is willing to stand in the gap, to do what other people are unwilling to do. And when we have faithful brethren like that, that brings us a tremendous amount of joy. Epaphroditus stood in the gap, and that brought joy to the Apostle Paul. Faithful brethren are a joy. Now let's review the things that we learned here from Philippians 2 and verses 19 through 30. They're a joy when they sincerely care. They are a joy when they seek Jesus Christ. They are a joy when they do not seek self. They are a joy when they have excellent character. Faithful brethren are a joy when they work for the Lord, when they desire fellowship, when they make sacrifices, and when they stand in the gap. I hope that as you read through Philippians 2 and verses 19 through 30, you will see how faithful brethren bring so much joy to our lives. Do you have joy in Christ? There are faithful brethren here who bring great joy to us today. But maybe you're not one of them. Maybe you need to become a Christian this morning through hearing the Word of God and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can be one of those faithful brethren who bring joy. In fact, you will bring joy just by obeying that plan that Jesus gave us to become a child of God. If you would like to do that this morning, we'd be glad to help you. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church because you haven't been as faithful as you need to be. And this morning you would like to ask for that help. We'll be happy to help you. If you have a need, you can come forward and make that known now while together we stand and while we sing.